Welcome back. Is this the end time message?
That's right.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Apostle Paul admonished us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think this particular statement is of more importance now than any other time in Christian history.
Definitely.
Because we have so much knowledge coming here and there, and it will do us best to have the right to know the truth. Because the Lord Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Now, is this the end time message? We've asked a lot of questions in our previous editions on this particular topic.
That's right.
But we still have some questions unasked. For instance, sir, we'd love to ask you, sir, how can the end time message be revived?
So you when you ask how can the end time message be revived, you are agreeing that they are dead.
Yes, following your teachings, sir. You've pointed that to
us. Okay, following my teaching, what of you, your observation?
Okay, yes, following your teachings.
From the questions that we have asked and from the answers we have gotten, it simply shows that the end time message actually is dead.
Okay, from the questions you ask and from the answers you got. Now, what of from your own observation?
Okay, well, from our observation, personally from my observation, I know there's something wrong with the message.
Certainly.
Okay, from my own observation, personally, it's hard. I can't feel comfortable in a lot of message churches.
Exactly.
So the truth is that if the end time message is supposed, what it's supposed to achieve is for us to see again what we see in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Acts of Apostles. And what we see in all the episodes, you know, that is what we're supposed to be restored to.
Amen.
Amen.
That is, we are supposed to see a vibrant church.
Amen.
Church that will affect the environment.
Amen.
Church that people will be happy to go and see the liberty of the Spirit.
Amen.
Where you will see, this sign shall follow them that believe.
Amen. Amen.
Deliverance is taking place. The gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those 9 spiritual gifts in full operation.
Amen.
We are a church where sinners will be afraid to come. When we say sinners, we mean believers who get backslidden and get themselves involved, like Ananias and Sapphira.
That's right.
Will come and stand. Come into the church, the Spirit of God will pick you up. Mm. So that you will not be disgraced, you'll be afraid to go.
That's right.
A place where you see true brotherly love in expression, and a place where, you know, all these things that were robbed from the church by the denominational spirit will totally, you know, be restored.
Mm.
You know, a church that when you go, you know, you'll be proud to associate with.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
And now, when we look around and we see God's attempt to bring us back to that estate, is that what we see in the churches today? No.
That's right.
So now, the message came for this age. We're talking of this age now.
Amen.
The message came. And God used William Branham to give us this totality of the word in this age. But those who claim they receive it, they are more dead than they were before they claimed they will saw the message. So the question is, can it be revived? Yes, it can be revived. How can it be revived? One thing I want you to note is, nobody can defeat God's purpose.
Definitely. I agree.
It's not even man's idea. When it is time to be revived, God will revive it himself.
Okay.
And I believe the revival is going on now.
I think that's what is bringing us to our question.
Yes.
What are the things that, for me, I said, I've been in the message, or I came to the message, I mean, I came to Bride Assembly years back, about 8 or 10 years back. And now, I've visited so many time message churches, and I've seen those, what they lack. And I've seen a different view in Bride Assembly. What they lack, we have it. So that's why I said it is dead. So now, sir, that's why we're asking the question. What are the things that you, as a preacher, you have seen that make you say the revival is on?
What are the indices?
You know, there's something I say, you cannot criticize someone except you have a solution.
Amen.
Okay, yeah.
You cannot say something is bad until you can show the good.
That's right.
We keep condemning the denominations. They are wrong. They are, so we are supposed to show the right.
The right one.
You know, I've always believed that a true church must not be one man show church.
True. Okay. Amen. Amen.
And we are having, you see, this grudge that I have, I call it a grudge, you know, because I've always believed that the end time message fell into wrong hands. And what they produce is the evidence.
That's right.
Yes. And when God gave me the opportunity now to pastor the Bride Assembly Church, I felt it was opportunity for me to put in place what I believe. But at the same time, too, I am being careful because the psyche of the people, you know, has almost come to a stage where the message is politicized. We are men are now looking for followership. So I don't want to make the mistake of being placed as one who is coming to make a claim and demand followership.
All right.
You see, that is why even when to answer such questions, I'm very, very careful. But the truth is this, you know, when I had the opportunity to put in place what I believe should be an ideal church, now, I'm not saying we have achieved it, but for a large extent, as it concerns the liberty of the spirit, we have achieved it.
Amen.
We are here, you don't feel inferior to exercise the grace of God, you know, in you. We are opportunity is given for everyone, man or woman, you know, within the boundaries of the scripture, that you operate the gift. Here we allow the spirit of God, you know, to move. We don't hinder him like the denominations do. And most of the anti-message churches I know do. God has been able to allow us to enjoy what it means, you know, for the Holy Spirit of God to lead a people.
Amen.
And so that is why you see us here having all the gifts in operation. The healing gift, you know, the utterance gifts, prophetic gifts, and all of the
Amen.
You know. So now I believe that we have gone to a level where people can learn from us.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So now, how can it be revived? When I took over, when I became the pastor of this church, I came with a mindset that this little flock thing, I will not be part of it. I don't believe. If you have sugar, ant will locate it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Gospel according to nature.
If you have an attraction, people will come.
Amen.
We're talking William Branham had an attraction. Jesus
right.
had an attraction.
Amen.
The apostles had attraction.
Hallelujah.
All of them had attraction. There must be something to attract the people. Even John the Baptist didn't do miracle, he didn't, but he had an attraction. There was something he had that attracted the whole place to him.
Amen.
So why will the denominations who say they have nothing and receive so much attraction, and you who have something, there's no attraction? Something is wrong. And including preaching the word, we are the only ones that have something to say that anybody on the street can stand and listen to.
That's very true. Correct. That's true.
So why are you little flock? I say, no. We cannot be remain little flock. And my definition of little flock is not their definition of little flock. And this is the effect. So what is it? Was to pick this Bible that William Branham told us, come to the Bible, come to the Bible. Yeah. And I soon discovered that God is obligated to honor his word.
Amen.
When you stand on the word of God, God backs it up. And I decided that I will stay with the Bible and the Bible alone. For that is what the end time message came to do. The Bible has been taken away from people. Okay. Now, Catholicism, during the Dark Ages, took away the Bible. The denominational system also take away the Bible and place faith on the men, on human beings.
That's true.
The end time message took away the Bible and they are holding onto the sermon books of William Branham. So it's the same thing.
That's right, same thing.
Everything William Branham has, if William Branham were alive today, I know all this nonsense would take place. It's to bring us here.
That's
evidence that you are in the end time message is that you pick this Bible.
Hallelujah.
And tear it down.
Amen.
This is the book we are to eat and digest. This is the word of God. We all accept it. And God has vindicated this book, the Bible. You stand on it, God is obligated to back it up. And that is what is missing in the entire message. To revive this message is to go back like William Branham, to what William Branham, you know, took as his absolute. He took the Bible as his absolute.
Okay.
Go back to the word of God. Yes.
Okay, sir. Amen. Would it be right for me to say that you are able to pastor a revived church because of the revelation you had? Or can I put it this way? Is it your revelation that determines revival? Is it revelation that brings about revival?
The reason why there's no revival is because people refuse to be led by the Bible.
Okay.
If you refuse to be led by the Holy Ghost, then revival dies.
Just back to the Bible.
Look, hold on to this word. It never fails.
Okay, sir. So I want to, I know you must have answered earlier.
Yes.
Maybe in previous episodes. But for the sake of this particular question, sir.
Yes.
Then, are you saying that the problem with the message churches is rejection of the Bible?
Complete. Not just Christianity generally. The problem of Christians generally is they reject the word.
Okay, but to narrow it down to message believers, they've replaced the Bible with sermon books. Is that the problem?
That is not just the sermon books. They replace Jesus with William Branham.
Okay.
Do you understand? He said, if you lift me up, Jesus said so.
Amen. Hallelujah. Draw me up.
Yes, now.
Hallelujah.
That is the gospel. The gospel is not William Branham. The gospel is Jesus Christ, him crucified. Not his servant.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, you know, I know, many of them listen to me, they will hate it because they're idolaters.
Wow.
They have idolized the man that God used to bring the message. And instead of listening to the message, they are holding on to the man. They turned it upside down. And it's the devil that is doing that, nothing more. So that is the problem. The end time is okay. All right, now you just imagine, including you and maybe you watching me now. Then you go to a church and you see signboard end time. And hey, you know, there should be something about end time.
That's right.
And then you enter the church. Then what you are hearing is, I'm Brother Abraham say, I'm Brother Abraham, I'm Brother Abraham, and William Branham say, and William Branham say, I'm Brother Abraham say. What will you come back there a second time?
Yeah, of course not.
And then the worst is that when they finish, William Branham say, there's nothing practical to confirm what they are saying. There's no healing. There's no prayer. You carry your problem there. You carry your problem home. Because every solution to your problem must be found in a comment William Branham made, even though there's no solution.
Wow.
Pastor, thank you for this. Your voice, you had saying, and
it's if you preach a message and you don't quote something William Branham said, you have not preached. When you go to the setting and then you mention something, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and this and that and this and that, they will be looking at you. But you say, remember in 1959, When William Branham just called that name, you heard the yes, sir, they will jump up. Do they have the spirit of Christ or the spirit of William Branham?
Okay. Still on this question,
sir. Have the spirit of Christ or the spirit of William Branham?
Apostle has said replacement of the Lord Jesus Christ with William Branham and then the Bible with the sermon books are the greatest problems of the entire message
yes.
universe. But still on this issue, sir, then how should we, are you saying we should leave the sermon books?
I say, if you understand what William Branham was preaching all the days of his life and every sermon he preached, he pointed us on the need to come back to the Bible. Reading the sermon book and it doesn't bring you here, you have not heard him right. So when you say we should not read the sermon book, we should only be reading the Bible, then you yourself, you are mixing up things.
Okay.
It's like you saying we should not listen to the prophet God sent to us. Okay. We must listen to him. But how? What is the evidence that you have heard him?
Okay.
When you listen to him, it will bring you to the Bible.
That's right.
You know, I used to have a minister friend of mine, a blessed memory, Brother Bessett from America. Now, you know, we were into the prison ministry together. He would visit me in Nigeria from the U.S. And I remember the first time he came, and we were inside my car, we were driving to one of our missionary trips, you know, in Ogun State here. And then something happened, and then I said, don't worry, Brother Bessett. I was trying to comfort him. I said, all things work together for good, don't worry. And immediately he turned and looked at me. He said, which scripture is that? And I told him Romans 8:28. He said, oh, that's good. Then he told me, he said, what is the message? After another time, he said, what is the message? I said, come back to the Bible. That is the message. We are to come back to the Bible. He said, oh, have you come back to the Bible, Brother Moses? I said, sure. Brother Abraham has made me to understand my Bible now, much, much better than before. He said, let me see whether you are back to the Bible. And he asked me, he said, how many books are there in the Bible? How many in the Old Testament, how many in the New Testament? I said, that was at that time. He said, you are not yet come back to the Bible. You understand? He said, you have not yet come back to the Bible. You are having, you say you have come back, you don't even know how many books are there in your Bible. He said, then he now asked me, he said, how many sermons did William Branham preach? I said, 1,150. He said, you know what, how many sermons William Branham preached? And in 1,100 something, he kept telling you, come back to the Bible. And you don't even know how many books are there. I said, are you in the message?
Wow.
I will never forget that.
Wow.
And that is the situation.
That's right.
You know, do you believe the prophet? Do you believe the prophet? Brother Hagin, I think that's Hagin or his name, from the U.S. again visited with one other brother, and then Brother Bill, another time. Then we moved to Ilori, and then an evening service was going in a local church there at Ilori. And when we finished, it's also a very vibrant inter-message church. They believe in the gifts. And then, thus said the Lord, the spirit of prophecy came on a brother. And we're prophesying to somebody else who is supposed to travel the next day. And the Lord was warning him he should not travel that day, but travel another day, for the enemy is waiting for him on the way, says the spirit of the Lord. And the pastor called the person, brother, are you planning to travel? He said, yes, so tomorrow. Did you tell anybody you're traveling? I've not told, even my wife, I've not told her. He said, well, you have heard it. We left that place with this brother from America, enter message pastor to the hotel, and then he said, you know, it's not the Lord that has spoken.
Wow.
In that prophecy.
Wow.
And we said, why? He said, because only the prophet has thus said the Lord. You know what he's saying? Only William Branham can say, thus said the Lord. So, did they understand that man?
Definitely not.
So, and then we now ask him. We waited until we came back to Lagos. We didn't want to spoil the trip with argument. When we reached Lagos, just before we took him to the airport, we asked him, because he kept bringing these things up. We said, you believe that everything William Branham said? He said, sure, he's a prophet. You believe? He said, yeah. Do you remember William Branham ever saying that every living church must have those nine spiritual gifts operating? Did you read it? He said, yeah, he read it. Hmm. Then we asked him, are these operating in your church? He said, no. Then the second brother, Bill Ali, that followed him. I asked, why is he not operating in your church? Bill Ali then answered in a sarcastic way, saying, they have kicked the Holy Ghost out of their church. And then we all laughed. Then he said, but there's no church that operates it. We said, but you went there and you saw one being operated. And you said, it is not of the Lord. Mm. And then Brother Okpayemi, who was with us, was telling, he said, out of these nine, he said, I have operated eight of them.
Wow. Wow.
I have spoken in tongues. I have this. I have this. I have this. He said, so this thing is real. And he stood there looking very confused. And he's pastoring. Mm. That is the problem in the end time message.
So that's a picture of a dead.
The deadness. There's a church here in Oroshoki, is it Baganda, or what do you call it? The pastor, one of the biggest end time message church in those days here. Mm. The pastor is late now. When you speak in tongue, spirit of, and somebody is speaking in tongue, the Holy Spirit is speaking, they're speaking in tongue, blah, 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 he will order, take that man out. Take him out. Don't bring that nonsense here.
Wow.
Mm-mm. And they have followers of William Branham. Wow. And William Branham came to tell us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Of course.
So the only way is come back to this Bible. Come back. Mm. That is the understanding we must have from the ministry of William Branham.
In fact.
Okay, bro, how many books are there in the Old Testament?
66.
I said in the Old Testament.
He said Old Testament. You missed it again.
Okay, Pastor, wow. Revival. There's something about the Exodus.
Mm. Yes.
The Exodus.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, I've heard you made mention of it severally.
Four Exodus.
First Exodus, and Abraham also preached it.
Let me quickly add this. I really wanted to bring this point. I got carried away.
Oh.
That question must be answered properly. Okay. How can we revive the message?
That's right.
Yes. There was something that Brother Cosmas Maduka, Chairman Cos Charis, our brother, we know him, mentioned one time when he came to give the businessman talk in the church.
Mm.
And he said he never went to school.
Mm.
He didn't go to school. And generally, he comes from the eastern part of Nigeria, where they have this culture of you learn a trade.
That's right.
Under a master for a number of years, then he settles you. So you too become a guy. You also bring some people that you also train. And what happens is that they localize themselves within that. And so you will hardly hear of any big name trader, any big name. So he said, but that he had a wider, dream than that.
Mm.
So he said the first thing he did was he didn't go to school. He said, as soon as he got his independence, established his own, he said he employed an accountant.
Mm.
Employed educated person that would do the work, the academic, the paperwork and everything for him. And they started complaining. What are you doing? Who does this and this and that? He was looking at them. He said, one principle of success, if you will succeed beyond what you see the norm, he said, he used that word, say, change the status quo.
That's right.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. Change the status quo. All entire message pastors are worried that something is wrong. Why are we like this? Why are we not known? Why are these denominations who don't know as much as we know, I know, you know, have all this anointing and all these things, some, you know, to comfort themselves, they'll be criticizing the denomination. You can't criticize somebody and not show him the correct one.
That's right.
It becomes jealousy, mm-hmm. you know. So the first thing is, see that the way we are operating it is wrong. Let's change it. Mm-hmm. Let's change the way we operate. That is why I wanted to say, we must change the status quo.
That's right.
To revive the entire message.
Okay. And one thing you will change is promote Jesus more than you promote William Graham.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Our pastor has given us a lot of points.
Amen.
We'll not want to rush it. We'll go on a short break for you to digest these hard sayings, but are true. So just stay tuned and keep watching. God bless you.